Welcome and thanks for tuning in to Diving Deep with DL. Now, there's no question or doubt where God has provided understanding that in the life of a disciple of Jesus, there's an eternal need for God the Holy Spirit's occupation and energia for true discipleship to emerge and for doing the will of the Father. God makes the evidence evident that they are at work, and their workmanship and furnished fruit is undeniable, because Jesus says, the blind receive sight and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. So, if Jesus did it yesterday, then he's doing it today. That's the plain old truth. And there's evidence everywhere that proves this truth and work of God. What else needs to be said? You got your tanks. Let's dive in. This segment is titled Discipleship, the Way of Life, Evidence, Part 4, Actions. Well, my fellow disciples, this is where evidence can be examined and will prove that actions do speak louder than words, because many people can and will say a lot of things. But the real truth of the matter is, what's under the skin is what emerges from the source within one's essence. Last week in Evidence Part 3, Prove, you heard that saying, the proof is in the pudding. And we know that you gotta taste the pudding, which is the action, to make a proper examination of the evidence. Is that a yes or a no? So, what should one be looking for when you are looking and living this life as a disciple of Jesus? Well, my fellow disciples, the answer is quite simple based on Jesus's testimony mentioned in the intro. You should see evidence of God's workmanship in and through the life of who you're looking at. And hopefully, if you're looking in the mirror, you should see God's workmanship in and through your life. But you will have to know what God's workmanship looks like in order for you to properly discern that it's the only true God that's at work in you. Remember Philippians 2? For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And when God is the master potter, carrying out his will and work in and through the lives of their disciples, the lump of clay, a created thing, is reshaped into a vessel as it pleased the potter to make. You can find God's reference to the potter and the clay in Jeremiah 18. Spend some time reading, studying, and meditating on the book of Jeremiah, my fellow disciples. And I pray for God the Holy Spirit to illuminate your mind, bring clarity and understanding to your heart and mind. Amen. You must believe, though, that the true evidence of God's supernatural heart and spirit transplant must be apparent. God the Holy Spirit's occupation, you know, his energia and work, and God's living and active word is filling your heart and saturating your mind. Then collectively, it's God's workmanship that's the catalyst and the source of the action to the essence of their disciples' transfer, change, progress, development, growth, maturity, regeneration, reconciliation, inspiration, power, faith, fruit, freedom, obedience, trust, hope, discernment, discipline, righteousness, peace, contentment, new nature, and renewed mind. And the list goes on and on. And you should welcome, just like those who are A and 4.0 scholars that look forward to test day because they're prepared, and you, as a disciple of Jesus, complete your 2 Corinthians 2:13 self-examination frequently. Because whenever you are facing the various trials in the physical or the spiritual, my fellow disciples, it doesn't matter, then you will see the evidence of Jesus Christ's genotype in yourself. and you know and believe that it is God that's at work, that's your Philippians 2 coming alive in you, and God's workmanship becomes evident, that's your Ephesians 2, and you know you're being conformed to the image of Jesus, that's your Romans 8, and the testing and trials try your faith, try your sincerity, strength, and patience, and trust in the only true God. Cogitate on this. Listen to this truth of God and the word action. John the Baptist is facing a great trial. He's been arrested and is incarcerated. And the simple truth, speaking the God's truth in love, could get you in trouble with the powers that be, especially when you know as a disciple of Jesus, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places, as God inspired Paul to pen in Ephesians 6. And that struggle could be in one's domicile, administration, management, supervision, command, leadership, ruler, or regime. Now, John was testifying to the truth of God because John rebuked King Herod for divorcing his wife and marrying his niece Herodias. And when the presence of sin and the practice of it is at the core of one's essence, there'll be evidence of its living under the skin, and the proof of it is in one's thoughts, words, and deeds. Remember, the actions of an individual over time will reveal what truly lies under the skin, in the heart. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 15? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. And in Herodias's heart, it was consumed with bitterness and hatred toward John the Baptist. And when sin is in a form of bitterness and hatred and is buried deep in one's heart, like a root-bound plant in a small pot, sin starts to choke the life out of one's essence. And the practice of sin is a downhill slide on an extremely greasy, oily, and slimy slope that once one starts moving, they move rapidly as the clutches of sin drag them down bad to worse. You should know this, though. Or am I the only one that can testify to this? That when you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience, among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. As God inspired Paul to pen in Ephesians 2. And God inspired James to pen this in James 1, which is the downward helix of sin. That when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. During this time of incarceration, John is facing his greatest trial, death. But in the midst of this trial, John hears the good news carried to him in prison by some beautiful feet. And he hears of Jesus' works doing the will of the Father. So John, even though he is filled with God the Holy Spirit's occupation, and has testified himself, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Sometimes the intensities of spiritual trials can cause us to question. And when we dive in today, we will talk about the actions, which will prove either God the Holy Spirit is an occupant or not. NGA. So listen. Now, when John, while imprisoned, heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else?" All Jesus had to say was, "Yes, I am he." But instead, Jesus says, "Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them." God is saying, I told you what Jesus was going to do when he walked on this sin-infested snake pit. And there's going to be evidence of his work, actions, being carried out in the lives of people. And people who do not deserve to be treated with mercy receive God's mercy. That's amazing. Praise God. Yes, Jesus could have simply said, "Yes, I am he." But first, those faithful messengers would have had to pick themselves up off the ground, put their sandals back on their feet, and then head back to John with the message. But the simple truth of God, look at the evidence. That's the verification and confirmation of God's will and work being carried out in and through your life and the lives of those you engage with as a disciple of Jesus. And your life must have an act-on mindset, which are the actions that prove and differentiate the doers of the word from the merely hearers who delude themselves, as God inspired James to pen in James 1. And the act-on is by God the Holy Spirit's energia, the power to carry out God's will and work in and through the dailies of all aspects of your life. And that power is needed especially in your own life every day. Let's back up and listen again to what Jesus inspired Matthew to pen in Matthew 7. Listen. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." What, do tell, do you think it would take to withstand the force of a various faceted storm? Well, I can tell you, my fellow disciples, it would only be one thing: energia, God's energia. For without God's power, there is no way to stand, especially in the storms and trials of life. And when one cannot stand with the power and energia of God, they fall. And they fall because it's the only other alternative, because you are standing under your own very limited power. And falling spiritually is eternally dangerous. So, what are the actions that must be apparent in our lives as a disciple of Jesus? Your life must have Christ-like actions. And these spiritually infused actions by God are to be present in your own life. When you are walking, talking, influencing, living in the new self, And the new self is controlling, directing, and restricting your old self. When your spirit is thriving and flourishing and prospering in the works of God, your flesh is failing, declining, and dying. When your words are seasoned with salt, and you are holding your thoughts captive, and your actions are in harmony with God the Holy Spirit's prompting, directions, and teachings, you are walking with and by the Spirit and not carrying out the desires of your flesh. You speak the truth in love. You love. You forgive. You extend grace. You offer mercy. You listen. You pray. You have hope. You believe and trust in God. You wait on the Lord. You demonstrate patience. You have and seek forgiveness. You commune with God. You praise God, worship God, honor God. You live in expectation of God's will and work to be carried out in and through your life. You live in confidence that God will bring forth His plan in and through your life. You know that God is sovereign, and you believe God will do what He says they will do. And the evidence of this work of God in your life becomes evident in your marriage, with your children, other family members, corporately, in worship, with co-workers. You honor and serve the living God, and you are being and making disciples. And as I've said several times before, discipleship is not something you simply add to your already congested life. Discipleship is your life, and all the other aspects of your life revolve around it. Your life as a disciple of Jesus influences the aspects of your life and not the other way around. See it like this. Open your hand. Look at the palm of your hand. Discipleship is your palm, and your fingers are the aspects of your life. Your marriage, family, work, relationships, etc. Your mission is to be a disciple wherever and whenever God places you in a particular situation. And the actions that you carry out are daily within your home, with your family. That should be your first objective as a disciple of Jesus after yourself. That would be 1 and 1A. And the actions that should be seen are the super infused attributes of God that become intrinsic and as natural to you as breathing. And as sin was so apparent in your life in the old self, your actions as a disciple of Jesus now confirm this new self that is engaged with God and moving in accordance to His will, work, commands. And you are fortifying yourself against the deeds of the flesh and see the fruit of the Spirit with a renewed mind and a renewed understanding in this new creation made by the supernatural circumcision made without hands by God. And God's sanctification work in your life acknowledges the wonderful privilege of a new citizenship of God's holy nation, a people of the only true God's own possession. And if the evidence of God's supernatural infusion of His Spirit in you is true, then that same power, which only comes from God the Holy Spirit's occupation, you know His presence and work, then that same power that raised Jesus from the dead will be present in you. And those actions confirm you are a disciple of Jesus, and the test result is pass. It really boils down to believing, my fellow disciples. Because if you truly believe in the only true God, then God will truly work in and through your life. That's the plain old truth. You have hundreds, heck, thousands of examples, even those written in His Word, to give us evidence. You have evidence around you and proof that God has, can, and will do what they say they will do. And if you don't believe in the power and work of the only true God, rest assured, your life will reveal that evidence as well. And it will be just as evident to others, because you will immediately forget what kind of person you are once you've gone away from the mirror. That's the plain old truth. And it's the truth because God said so. Why would God do anything in your life if you didn't believe in Him? The evidence reveals this, my fellow disciples. God doesn't need us. We need them. So when you read about all those that God had worked through as examples for us in His Word, it's the truth. And if it's the truth, then it's the truth now. So really, the self-examination that's needed is if you truly believe in the only true God, and you believe in His Word, His works, His power, His plan, and His predetermined plan by His foreknowledge in coming to fruition in your life. So there should be, there must be, actions of God's divine work in and through your life. God inspired Paul to pen this in Ephesians 2. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The self-examination is the evidence of God's work in and through your life. These are not works you choose to do, but these are works that God has prepared for you to do. If God has planned works for you, and God has empowered you with His Spirit to complete the works, then how is the life of discipleship really hard? If the life of discipleship is really hard, now hear me on this, then it's really hard for two reasons. Number one, trying to live this life of discipleship with a fleshly mindset. And two, trying to accomplish spiritual things with the deeds of the flesh. That, my fellow disciples, is like mixing oil and water. They are incompatible. They just don't mix. Because the desires of the flesh and its deeds are in opposition to God. Remember what God said about the spirit and the flesh? Listen to what God inspired Paul to pen in Galatians 5. For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. So, what does your life truly look like? Is it an imitation of the most faithful, obedient, and trusted disciple maker ever? And if it is, how could he fail with you? It's not that God is failing. Don't you remember the last portion of the 2 Corinthians 13 verse of Test Yourself? And it says, unless indeed you fail the test. If you're failing the test, remember, it's you failing and not God failing you. What about Christ-like actions as a disciple of Jesus for a single person? Biblically, can the deeds of the flesh, immorality, impurity, sensuality, coexist with the fruit of the Spirit, patience, faithfulness, and self-control? Would this behavior be a spiritual conflict where walking by the Spirit requires abstinence and the flesh screams, do as you please? Listen, singles, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life, as I testify to what God inspired Paul to pen in Romans 6. And this as well, my fellow disciples who have a single status. But if, while seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have also been found sinners, is Christ then a minister of sin? May it never be. For if I rebuild what I have once destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor, as I testify to what God inspired Paul to pen in Galatians 2. Oh, what about actions for you married people? How much time do we have? Talk about a diversity of life. Actions. Well, husbands, God makes it very clear what your Christ-like intrinsic actions must be. Listen to what God says. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered, as God inspired Peter to pen in 1 Peter 3. God does not say, at times, husbands, you need to be. No, 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 my fellow disciples. Jesus is an all-the-time God. And the second you say anything other than, yes, Lord, your flesh is in control and your prayers are hindered, all of them. You need to look up what hindered means. And I will tell you, you don't want the only true God, the creator of the universe, to hinder your prayers. What a dreadful thought, with aging parents and sick spouses and sick children and job opportunities and other things. You truly want God not to listen? Oh my goodness. God says live. Live would be 24/7, 365. And you need God the Holy Spirit's energia to maintain that Jesus-like endurance every day, all year, year after year. And if you try to do it in your flesh, just go get your test card right now and write down fail. Because you will. That's the plain old truth. And I don't need it for my spouse. No, 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 my fellow disciples. I need God's power to control my flesh. And if I had to mention these two to you husbands, you and I need to have a conversation offline. Send me an email. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. And So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. Both of these passages are from God's inspiration in Ephesians 5. And I will testify, it takes God's power to maintain a healthy heart of love. And the actions for the wifey poo? You thought I was going to pass over you. Not a chance. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior, as God inspired Peter to pen in 1 Peter 3. Isn't that an interesting point from God to wives? No need to say anything. No nagging. They may be won without a word by the behavior. So see, actions do speak louder than words. It's not about words. It's about actions. And wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord, as I quote what God inspired Paul to pen in Ephesians 5. The plain old truth, as a disciple, male or female, single or married, all should testify of the need of God's energia to live this life of discipleship. And I would have to say, with the added responsibilities of marriage, with children and family members, it's added responsibilities. You need God's energia because Jesus has given us the example of how to live as his disciple. So the plain old truth, you will either walk by the Spirit or carry out the desires of your own flesh, NGA. And for all of you, you will need God's power for this. Many people forget about God's law of the harvest. Remember? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life, as I quote what God inspired Paul to pen in Galatians 6. Now let me just say, when God says whatever, God means whatever. And whatever means everything you have sown. I've learned that God's word is true, and whatever God says will happen as God says it will happen. And when God says, whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. And God supports his law of the harvest with this passage. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. As I quote what God inspired Paul to pen in 2 Corinthians 2:9. Now, cogitate on this. If you sow to your flesh, from the flesh you will reap corruption, because God said, will from. And the same applies to the Spirit. Now surely we would want that to apply. Sow to the Spirit, will from the Spirit. You will need God's energia. You're going to need power to deal with the effects of sowing to your own flesh, because as with anything in the harvest area, if you will, you put a seed in the ground, you don't get a tree tomorrow. So it takes time, and it comes back more than you sowed and later than you sowed it. You'll need God's power to deal with that. And that's because of this principle, my fellow disciples. Put an apple seed in the ground. The tree must encounter the rain, wind, hail, heat, drought, flood, and pests. But thank God for Jesus, because people still get sick, jobs are lost, accidents do happen, and physical death still exists. So what about your actions and your work as a disciple? Are you making disciples? Have you ever made a disciple? Have you ever walked alongside someone for a period of time in their life when they were in a trial? Or are you walking along and you're by yourself and you're just going at it alone, thinking that God will see what you do as good, and in reality, you are only relying on your own righteousness? And that, my fellow disciples, is eternally dangerous. Jesus has made it very clear as to how we are to live as his disciples, and he even calls us to prove it. Go read, study, and meditate on Matthew 5 through 7, titled The Sermon on the Mount. You live out that sermon, and you'll be what God called you to be. That's the plain old truth. As we head back up, take this with you. We've had four parts of this Godcast: evidence, examine, prove, and finally actions. And all four go hand in hand with your life as a disciple of Jesus. You can hide from others, and you can even hide from yourself, but good luck with that one. But I'll remind you, you are always in view of an omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient God. Listen, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. And if I take the wings of the dawn, and if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, and your right hand will lay hold of me. And even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. It's only by God's supernatural heart and spirit transplant, with the divine infusion of his spirit into your new spirit, can you truly love like God loves you. That's the plain old truth. One of the greatest expressions of love that validates the evidence of God the Holy Spirit's occupation, you know, his presence and work, is the act of forgiveness. Prove God's word is taking root in your heart and mind and coming out of your mouth. Prove you understand your need for repentance and you are actively changing the way you think about the only true God, his word, commands, works, truths, and life. Prove you will act on Jesus' words. Remember what Jesus says? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. And finally, my thoughts, my fellow disciples, this sits at the base of my monitor. I want to be a man inspired by God, either to do or to say extraordinary things, revealing the will of God by the direction and power of God the Holy Spirit, experiencing true joy by bringing the message of the gospel to wherever or whomever God directs and leads me. Let me pray for you. Abba, I love you and thank you for today. This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What a blessing, Abba, to continue to focus on your work being carried out in the lives of your disciples. We know we are not deserving of this life, but it's by your love, mercy, and grace that we get to experience an abundant life you promised to give to those who believe. And what a life it is, as we continue to walk the way Jesus has. Oh, what a challenge it is, because of my flesh and the sin that lives within it. Thank you for your Spirit. It's only by His power can we experience victory over our flesh. I didn't realize how weak a person I truly was until I experienced the power of your Spirit. We are so thankful and grateful for the power to remain faithful to your calling on our lives. Abba, please forgive our evil thoughts, our evil words, and our evil deeds. Thank you for opening our hearts to receive the truth of your word. Thank you for empowering us to live out this wonderful life of discipleship. It is everything you said it would be. Jesus' life and words are the perfect example to model. Empower us to model his life every day. I lift up the listeners to you, Abba. Bring forth your Spirit into someone's essence today and deliver them from the domain of darkness and transfer them into the kingdom of your beloved Son. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks for tuning in to Diving Deep with DL. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Have a great day of worship and keep walking the way.